that all the avoda and the karbanos was really just, they did it in a worshipful manner, but it was done with the right idea, and through that it's stamped out with the right idea that that this is done L'Hashem, L'Hashem Levada. So therefore this activity served to bring them closer to the idea of the existence of God and the unity of God. So you see that a whole system of kabbanis in the Middash, according to the Rambam, was set up just so that people should abandon the false notions of Avodah Zarah, and they should recognize the existence and the unity of the Creator. That's what that whole Maisa Kabbanis and all the whole Sefer Vayikra was established for, that reason. And the Rambam holds that if you think that that's not a good reason, then you're simply ignorant of the Derech Hashem, and you're just basing your whole approach on your own emotional sense of your own emotional work ethic. That has to be something positive. If it's not positive, it's not worth anything. So the pasuk "Nachamu kim derech eretz plishtim" is a small thing. You're not too interested in that. Okay, fine. So then the Rambam says you're missing the whole Derech Hashem. So the same thing is true over here. That the mahu afato, which is halacha, that a person must emulate the midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam says at the end of Hilchos Deis, L'fichach tzorch, first pack in Hilchos Deis. Henoch pointed this out to me, that basically the Rambam says, pretty much what we were saying last week, I just simply didn't see it, I'm sorry. He says, the Rambam in Hilchos Deis, in the end of the first pack, he says, in Halacha Vav, Kach lamdu b'firish mitzvah zu, is ma'u nikrachan nafato yechanan, he says, And then he says, Ketzad Yagalada Masadeus Ketzad Yagalada Masadeus Eluach Yikvubo Yasa Vyashana Vyashalesh. Okay, and he goes on to he says, Vufisha Shemos Elu Nikrobana Yotzer Vema Derech Habenunis Shonu Chayov Molechesbo Nikras Derech Zu Derech Hashem Vyisha Lamad Avramavinu Levonov Shnemaki Zatuman Sheetzav Ezbonov. Okay. There's a lot to analyze in this Rambam, but the point I want to address now is the question was raised. In other words, that just like with regard to the first category, the category of Yediyas Hashem insofar as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam, Yesod Yesodos, Sheyileda Sheyesh Shom Elokan Imtza, Motzi Rishon, So that is the idea of the Motzi Rishon is the first category, and you see that in order to have that category established, it was necessary to have a whole system of kabbanis and the Maisa kabbanis, and to do all the to and support a whole group of kahanim, a whole cast of kahanim to support them, in order to have the Maisa kabbanis, in order to, like the Rambam says, in order that people should abandon the false crazy notions of Avodah Zarah, and they should embrace the true idea of God's existence and his unity. So it wasn't too much to create a whole Sefer Vayikra for that. And if you think that that's too much, then you have a certain kind of a disease, Rambam says. So if that's the case, the same thing is true b'nogeya to the second element of Yediyas Hashem. And that is Yediyas Hashem insofar as the Nihug HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Briyasov, which a person can attain only through Nevuah. A person can attain, no philosopher could ever have such a knowledge of this. It's impossible for a philosopher to have such knowledge. A philosopher could have a lot of kashas, and maybe he has some terutzim, but he can't have any real knowledge. So this was necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to have Nevuah. And this is the second aspect of Yediyas Hashem, the second category, I should say, second category of Yediyas Hashem, which the Navi talks about, Moshe Rabbeinu talks about, and that's Haskev Yedoyasi is one, Ki Ani Hashem Osa Mishpat Chesed Mishpat Zaka Baretz. So insofar as that second category is concerned, So far as that second category is concerned, of course, the greater the idea, the greater the person will be able to do the chesed naturally. But what the Rambam is saying is, nevertheless, you're still chayav. That's what the Rambam says, yagel atzmo, the Rambam says, and yishanev, the yishalesh. He must practice this, he must act this way, he must coerce himself to live in accordance with those midos, because those are midos of Kadosh Baruch Hu, which means that by doing that, by living that way, even though he doesn't really have the knowledge, you see, even though he doesn't have the knowledge, but this implants the idea in his mind that there is such a Yedias Hashem, and there is a Nihug of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Briyosov, and insofar as he understands from the Sifrei Nevi'im, even on his basic level, that this is true, he has a chiyuv to act in accordance with that knowledge. In other words, insofar, even though he doesn't really understand in depth the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu that way, because that's something which brings him closer to the idea. You see, the Rambam was very big, very, 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 held very much from the idea of a person being distant or closer to something. You see, that's why he says, for instance, later, he says, I now return to my theme, as I mentioned before, this is Rambam quoted before, as the sacrificial service is not the primary object of the commandments. While supplications, prayers, and similar kinds of worship are nearer to the primary object and indispensable for obtaining it, a great difference was made in the law between these two kinds of service. It says, the one kind, which consists in offering sacrifices, although the sacrifices are offered to the name of God, has not been made obligatory for us to the same extent as it had been before. Okay? We were not commanded to sacrifice in every place, and in every time, or to build a temple in every place, or to permit anyone who desires to become a priest to sacrifice. On the contrary, all this is prohibited to us. Okay, and then he goes on, but with regard to tefillah, you see, with regard to tefillah, but prayer and supplication can be offered everywhere, and by every person. The same is the case with the commandment of tzitzis, mezuzah, tefillin, and similar kinds of divine service. Okay? So, he says like this. Yeah, then he goes into the Raya, for the Raya from the Nevi'im for his position about the Kabbanis. But just a second. But yeah. So the point is, he says, tefillah is something. Tefillah is something which is closer to the objective. It's closer to the objective, and it's indispensable. It's indispensable for obtaining it. Okay, so that's why he says there was a difference between tefillah and between kabbanis. Kabbanis you can't makav all the time. You see, there's no bias today. You can't makav, but tefillah is all the time. So you see what the Rambam holds is that a thing which is that it's important, it's significant. To and that's really the whole idea of mitzvahs, to engage in certain activities because those activities bring to mind certain truths, and a person must have these truths close to him at all times. I'll give you an example. See, the Rambam holds, in this very same chapter, the Rambam says, he expresses that idea where he have like this, where he says, somebody will ask the question about why God doesn't allow us to obey the commandments. Later he says, as it is the chief object and purpose of God that we should believe in the law and act according to that which is written therein, why has he not given us the capacity of continually believing in it and following its guidance instead of holding out to us reward for obedience and punishment for disobedience, or of actually giving all the predicted reward and punishment? Okay? But you notice he says continually believing in it and following its guidance. See, there's a concept of continually. And that's what the Rambam says, that the Masakin Meir Brachos, Lizkar Borei Tamid. So that's another principle. So the idea over here is that V'alachta Bidrachov, all these activities that the Rambam says a person is mechuyev to remodel himself in doing, is because through the doing of it, he's in line with that true idea. Namely, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Noheg B'Chesed and Briyasov, whatever, it's true he may not understand it in depth, but at least that idea is a part of his life. So the purpose of the mitzvahs is really to make certain ideas a part of the individual's life. That's the same thing with Kabbonis. The whole system of Kabbonis was so that people should have the idea, the idea of the one true God. So that's the same thing over here. So that's why the question of why a person, and that's why I think I would say that's the same thing, that's a certain kind of disease that people have, that they only want to do the thing on the ultimate level. If I could do it like a Navi, like Moshe Rabbeinu, then I'm willing to do it. But if I can't do it that way, then there's no purpose, no benefit in my doing it. That is a kind of a disease. That's the same kind of thing that the Rambam mentions over here. This idea of a disease that people would deprecate something because it's just a removal, it's just a negative thing. The same thing is true over here. That even that people will say that if I can't really understand it, it's not really natural, I really can't understand the Niyagar Kodesh Baruch Hu, so why should I do chesed? That idea is part of the same disease that Ram is talking about. That's because that's a disease of the ego. Namely, that the person can't do it unless it's on the highest level. But just to do things because doing these things brings to mind an idea which is of the greatest significance, rather than him being engaged in stupid ideas and ideas which take a person away from God, that to him is nothing. That has no value. That to him has no value. So that's a fool. I mean, that's a person that's totally a fool. An individual thinks that instead of doing chesed, where engaging in chesed brings to mind the idea of the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is noheg b'chesed and b'riyosov and he's manig ha'olam, that idea is not important. So that's why the person can't do chesed, instead of they'll engage in some other kind of nonsensical thing, or else they'll act in an opposite way towards the b'riyos, which will take them away from the idea of God's niyug with niyug in Abrios. That to them is not a terrible thing because there's no sense of accomplishment. You see, so that's what I'm saying, that this Rambam over here really points out this emotional weakness in man, and it answers the question that was raised of why we should do chesed. Why should we do chesed? Because chesed brings to mind the second most important idea that we have. Namely, the first is the existence and the unity of the Creator, and the second is the Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's really, that was what I mentioned on Sunday. That was Adni. That's what Avraham Avinu taught. Ma'u Afata. So before that, nobody called HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon. So nobody realized that there's a concept of emulation of Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That idea, that dimension, Avraham Avinu really developed that dimension. A person could be medame, idamos elav yisbarach, and a person should watch carefully the midas of Kadosh Baruch Hu and emulate those midas. A different dimension of a relationship to God. That was the adni. So the to do chesed is of the greatest significance, of the greatest importance on any level whatsoever. I mean, that's what I want to make clear. Of course, the more chachma a person has, and the more a person understands, the greater will be the chesed, and the quality of the chesed will be a different type of a chesed, different type of quality. But in terms of performance of the chesed on any level whatsoever, it is the highest and the greatest form of avodah, without a question. I mean, when a person is engaging in such type of activity, he's engaging in the highest level of avodah. So that's basically what I wanted to to say to answer the question. Okay? Any other questions?
Any questions?
Yeah. I mean, I want to point out there's a lot to analyze in that Rambam. I mean, it's not... I would like to do it. I mean, I would like to really go further. A lot of other points in the Rambam, but I'm singling out this one point. I think this one point stands out in this chapter. And there's a very significant point that he's making over here. And I think it's the basis of Asiyas, as a framework, actually, I would say, it's the basis of the proper framework for Asiyas HaMitzvahs. That's really what Asiyas HaMitzvahs is, what the Rambam is explaining. Asiyas HaMitzvahs is a person getting closer to the true ideas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really Asiyas HaMitzvahs. Anything which leads to that goal, which leads a person to that closeness, is of the greatest significance. And it doesn't matter whether it's b'toras shlila or b'toras chiyah, whether it's negative or whether it's positive, it makes no difference. The important thing is where it places the individual in relationship to God. That's the significant thing. Okay.
Any questions? It's no questions. Florida, any questions? All right.
Okay, all right, we'll stop here.
Is that why Abraham left when he was sent out to work with the
Malkum?
Rebbe? I couldn't hear.
When he got in Bayeah, why he left, Hashem was talking to him, and he got up to go greet the Malkum, is that why?
No, that's a very good shot, that's correct, that's a good shot. In other words, according to the pshat, that the Chazal say, I mean, it's a machlekes, but according to that pshat, that he was mafsik in the, that's correct, that he was mafsik in the relating to God, and he said, of course, that's one of the pshat, he said, al nasafa melavdecha means that I'll come back, but meantime he engaged in achnas zochem. That's correct. That's exactly gedolach nasorchem mekabos neashchina. It means to say, because everything that we do basically is we do it for ourselves. I mean, that's God's objective, is that we should perfect ourselves. So that's what Avraham Avinu was saying, that engaging in chesed is a greater perfection, even than kabbalah neashchina. Exactly what the Chazal means. That's very good. That's 100% raya. Exactly what they mean.
Can you elaborate on that, Rebbe?
In other words, what Chazal is saying is how could a person be mafsik? Here he's in Mayan Avua, Bisnei Hashem, and he's mafsik, and he goes and he does chesed. So the answer is because in the chesed he's engaging in the mahuafata. And the Mahu Afato, the Yedias Hashem, through the Mahu Afato, was a greater perfection for Avraham Avinu than even in gaining knowledge through the Mayan Avor. And it depends on, of course, everything depends on the situation, the circumstances. But what it means is that that's what it means with Avraham Avinu. That his engaging in chesed, and really the truth of the matter is that when a person, I mean, Yahadus maintains, like the Rambam says, Maisa HaMitzvah shouldn't be kal in your minds, because the Maisa HaMitzvah lead to perfection. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, who one would think didn't need any perfection, still went to do a mitzvah on his level. So the Maisa HaMitzvah really lead to perfection. And what that's Al-Nasavar Malavdecha meant, that Avraham Avinu realized that through the chesed, through the asiyas chesed, at that moment, it would lead to a greater perfection than through the knowledge that he would attain through the Mariana Hoa. That's basically what Chazal is saying. It's an interesting, Chazal.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
If Avraham Avinu were to live at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu,
yeah,
and God asked Avraham Avinu to redeem Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim, so do you think that he, in other words, it would seem, based on
our understanding of their personalities, that Avraham Avinu would have jumped at the chance and ran to do it, as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was more reluctant to do it. Is that based on strictly on their personalities, or is that based on also some conceptual understanding of that mitzvah, of that commandment?
That's a good point. That's a very good question. That's a good question. Now, the question is, it would seem to us that Avraham Avinu would jump at the opportunity, which Moshe Rabbeinu rejected. That's a good question. That's a very good question. Because it seems that, on the contrary, Avraham Avinu was always engaged in chesed.
Right.
Every passerby, he spent hours with him, spent time with him, and he introduced him to God, and he tried to give him the right ideas and arguments and all these kind of things. So it would seem that if God would have asked Avraham Avinu to go take Guy Kol Yisrael from the time, he would have said that he would have jumped to the opportunity. Yeah, you see Moshe Rabbeinu turned God down. I mean, ultimately, he had to be convinced after many days, but at first he turned God down. The question, that's a separate question. It's a very good question, but it's a question that requires a shiur by itself. I mean, it's a good question. I get this moment. I can't really answer it. Good question. Okay.
From what you were saying last week about Shema and Yeshua Atzeret, you were saying that the idea of Shema, the ideas in Shema, are one of the things that lead you to the perfection you were talking about. But why is it through the Ma'aseh Mitzvah of Shema? Why shouldn't it be through
what?
Why is it through the Ma'aseh Mitzvah of doing Shema? Shouldn't it be, if you said it was the ideas that were what would lead you to perfection, shouldn't you maybe like have a Seder in Shema? Like, why is it through the Ma'aseh Mitzvah of Shema?
I understand the question.
The question is, because you were saying it was based on the ideas that you learned from Shema. But while you're doing while you're saying Kriya Shema, are you getting as much in terms of the ideas as if you were actually learning Shema?
No, it doesn't say you shouldn't learn. It just says that Shema is... See, that's another thing I want to explain here. I mean, the point is that people always look for... Maybe I'm not explaining this well enough. But people always look. The emotions look for certain things. The emotions want to have, like, one way. There's one method of perfection. Now, this is it, you know? It's knowledge. Okay, that's it. But it's not true. I mean, you see, what does Rambam say? Let's see, Rav Masa v'chachmasa ozocha. So activity for a human being has an effect on his soul as well. You can't just have one thing. That's why Yahadus is not one-dimensional in terms of the human being. The Rambam says that the mitzvahs affect different parts of our being. It affects our emotions, it affects our actions, it affects our das. There's different... The elements of man is a whole entity. In order to gain perfection, you have to engage man in on different levels. Like the Rambam says, a person sees a mezuzah every day. Sees a mezuzah, he thinks about the ideas of God. This draws him close. This puts him in a certain frame of mind. It's intellect. To tell a person it would be completely... I can't imagine anything more further from the truth than to tell a person that the way he's going to gain perfection is to sit in a room with a bunch of books and just read metaphysics. Absolutely not true. Absolutely not true. Even though the knowledge of metaphysics is the greatest knowledge, but the fact is the way a human being gains ideas is not such a simple thing. Not so simple. There are ideas that no matter how long you'll sit in your work, and I don't care how many times how much concentration you have, and I don't care how many hours you put into it, you'll still never get the idea, and then a person can suddenly get the idea just like that without any work whatsoever, because of a certain state of because of the human condition. A human being is a very complex creature, not simple, and sometimes in order to attain knowledge, it's impossible for a person to gain knowledge because there's certain blocks, and if those blocks are there, no matter how much he works on it, he's just never going to get it. I don't care how smart, I don't care how intelligent he is, and I don't care how much he works at it, how much effort he puts in, he simply will not be able to gain that knowledge. The purpose of Kol HaTorah Kula is to gain the knowledge. But the Torah teaches the person how to gain the knowledge through the mitzvot, and that is the proper way. But the mitzvot require certain types of activities at certain times. It requires Kriya Shema twice a day, and that's a certain kind of activity. It requires putting on tefillin, that's another kind of activity. It requires tefillah, which is another kind of activity. All those activities really are a system of perfection through which the person will gain knowledge. But if a person were to say, I'll do away with all the mitzvahs, and I'll just sit and study, he will never get anywhere. I don't care how smart he is, as I said, how much effort he puts into it. And that's another mistake that people make. I would say that's a part of the disease. The disease of man is such that he looks for a simple kind of a thing. He wants this to work, and he doesn't want to admit that he has defects in character which have to be worked out, and which require interaction between him and his fellow man, and which require experiences in life which affect his personality, and which require mitzvot of all different types in order to reach perfection. That's what a person doesn't want to hear, that because a person, it's something which one of the things, in my opinion, is because it's a blow to the person's ego. A person's narcissism wants to think, well, I could do it. What do I need? A certain amount of books? Okay, fine. I'll sit down in the room, a certain amount of hours, a certain amount of books, I can accomplish it. It's not such a simple thing. Man is a complex being. And the system of Yahadus is a system which gives him the ultimate knowledge, but the knowledge is not simply through just sitting and studying. If we're just sitting and studying, we'd never need, you only have one mitzvah, only Talmud Torah. But you see, the Torah doesn't see, the Torah is so fit to give Tayag mitzvahs. So you see, it's not so. That perfection in man doesn't come about, and knowledge in man does not come about simply through study. That is a crazy idea. Okay? I think that's what the Rambam is trying to point out also. Where the Rambam is saying that you need the whole system of korbanos. In order, the Torah knew that will bring man close to the idea of God's existence and his unity. That will do it. But you have to go through the process of Kabbalah. You need that process. So everybody looks down at a process which is a preliminary process, but a preliminary process is just as important as any process, because anything which is necessary in order to get you to the goal is extremely important. But there again, people make a mistake. It's very nice. A person would like to think that all he has to do, he's an intellectual, and all he has to do is sit back and reflect and meditate and think. I mean, and that's it. He can do it that way. That's not what Yadus holds. Yadus maintains that the person is very complex, and you need all the mitzvahs in order to affect the individual on different levels, performance, different types of performances. And then everything is geared, that's what I mentioned last Sunday too, everything is geared in this system towards one objective, and that objective is Yedias Hashem. Of course, that's correct, but you have to have all these different kinds of experiences. That's the formula. I mean, the prescription is God's prescription. It's a serious prescription. It's not a simple thing. But you can't omit any dimension of the human personality. Every aspect of the human personality has to come under the system. Okay? I'm glad you asked that question, because that's just a further enhancement of what we're saying.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
Is that really the concept when someone is a true onesh from Hashem? Because it's necessary for the human experience to achieve perfection.
That's correct, exactly. Absolutely, 100%. Amendi, yeah, 100%. That's exactly, that's what the Pasuk says. Kashe Yasser Isha Es Beno Hashem L'Kachem Yisrako. So, Es Asher Hashem Oyev Hashem Yechiach. So Tochacha is good. It means that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives the person Tochacha. It means that he's important enough for God to take cognizance of him and to give him an onesh where it corrects him. That's a high level. So, on the contrary, but that's correct. Through the experience, the person perfects himself, and through the perfection, he gains knowledge. Knowledge in the Rambam, in the Maor Nevuchim, is not simply a matter of IQ. It's not simply a matter of ability. The Rambam is very, very strong about how important the ability is, and the ability for abstract thinking, like he writes in the introduction to his Talmud, why he wrote the Mura, that without that, you really can't, go into these areas. But at the same time, he recognizes that that is not enough. That is not enough. What does Ram say to Ram to somewhere? That person who will think that he's a big chacham, but he's going to follow, he's going to indulge in his taivas. So he says that he can't get anywhere. Just because the first thing about chachma is that a person should minimize his taivas. That's the first element of being a chacham. So a person that doesn't have that idea is can't be a chacham, and he can never reach chachma. Chachma involves perfection, and perfection is not a simple thing. It's not like a study of mathematics where you have to get a tremendous IQ and he has ability, he puts in time and puts in effort, he's going to become a great mathematician. There's no way, nothing will stop him. He has to achieve that goal. If he has enough intelligence, he's going to achieve the goal. But perfection is very tricky, because perfection is knowledge in every area, and the human mind is such that people will do crazy things, not because their IQ is a problem. It's not because they have low IQ. It's because the method and their whole approach is distorted. So chachma is extremely important, but the mitzvos tell us that chachma is not the only thing. It's not the only thing. And you can't attain chachma if you just go after chachma. You cannot attain. That's the strange thing about it. Person goes just after chachma, he'll never get chachma. Can't, because he's trapped in a certain emotion. He's trapped in his reason for going after it is a trap which will prevent him from gaining knowledge. But there are areas he'll never be able to see. The only way is through the system of the mitzvah. Okay. All right, we'll stop there. Any other questions?
Yeah, what did the woman do if she didn't have to be processed? You need a question, Rabbi?
No, I didn't hear it.
Speak up.
How does a woman accomplish this perfection if she doesn't have to go through all these processes of mitzvot that a man will have to go through? Like filling in all these kids' mitzvot. How is she getting that level?
How will a woman attain this type of perfection if she's not chayav in all the mitzvahs? Rebbe?
Yes, I hear the question.
Very good.
Well, a woman's not chayav in all the mitzvahs, but she certainly can do them. So, insofar as she's interested in perfection, she can do it. If she's not interested in perfection, she doesn't do it. Only those mitzvahs. There's two. I mean, that's what I tried to explain on Sunday also. I mean, I was getting back to that same thing. That there's two kinds of asiyas ha-mitzvahs. Okay, one kind of asiyas ha-mitzvahs is the objective. The objective of b'shem Hashem kel olam. That's what I said around, that's what Rama starts off always with that objective. B'shem Hashem kel olam is the objective, and in terms of the objective, it starts with the mitzvahs, with the shev mitzvah bnei Noach, and it's completed with tayag. Okay, that is the objective. Afronzin started the objective, and the Torah is mashlim the objective. Okay, so that's one thing. Then there's another halacha of tayag, and that's krisis bris. Krisis bris between us and God. Okay, now that krisis bris is which is mandatory, which is not mandatory, and that's a system of krisis bris. So insofar as Krisis Bris is concerned, then Isha has her responsibility. But insofar as and a man has his responsibility. But insofar as perfection is concerned, a person that's searching perfection, there's no difference. Okay? All right.
Rebbe, even though a person's Ava can't exceed their Yediyah, it would still be for Avram to leave the Nevuah because of perfection?
Excuse me, I can't hear. Yeah, somebody has to repeat it.
Even though a person's Ava can't exceed the idea, it was still bad for them to leave the Nevuah, leave Hashem in order to do chesed for perfection?
Yes, that's correct. Uh-huh. That's correct. Yeah, that's absolutely. Even though, that's exactly what we're saying, even though the Ava cannot exceed the idea, but you have to do Maisim in order to get the idea. So it's proper. So sometimes the Avraham Avinu has to engage in a Maisa HaMitzvah in order to gain the perfection. And just the knowledge itself is not going to do it. The knowledge itself is not going to do it. I mean, that's what the Rambam says. A person is a big chacham and he follows a typist. So he considers himself a big chacham, he can't be a chacham, he says. Because a chacham knows that the first thing is to minimize the typist. He has as much knowledge, give him a test, he'll pass the test. But the answer is that's not real knowledge. The real knowledge has to be something where the person has, where the person's knowledge is a part of their, is a part of their soul. I mean, it's attached to their soul. Extraneous knowledge where there's a block, a barrier between the soul and the knowledge is not real knowledge. And the mitzvah's really, even knowledge itself. I mean, I'll get into that on Sunday. An idea from the Rambam about knowledge. About when knowledge is helpful, when it's not helpful. Sometimes the answer, see, that's another thing. I mean, that people always think that if they have the answer, that's it. It's not the answer. Not the answer. The answer is not the barometer through which you judge the person's knowledge. A person cannot have the answer and be closer to the truth than a person who has the answer. It sounds amazing, but it's true. So it's not such a simple thing. Mari and Avu, you get answers. And Mari and Avu, what did the Vilna Gaon, I think, said? The Vilna Gaon said that it would be of no service whatsoever if a person were to have a chalom where he understood all the shas, or, you know, he answered an important question in learning. He had tremendous difficulty understanding something, and if at nighttime he would have a Mari and Avua, and he'd get an answer, so the only guy says that the answer would marry, we wouldn't help many. Even though he'd have an answer to the problem. But the knowledge would not help many. But the knowledge has to be a knowledge attained in a certain manner. In order for it to be of benefit to the soul. You see, by Bilam. Bilam had tremendous knowledge. We'll never have the knowledge Bilam had. But you see, it was Russia. I had the mind of Avua, all the knowledge. That kind of knowledge doesn't help the soul. So again, the whole system of Yahadis is to create a perfected human being. That is really what the system is. And to give a person knowledge of the Shem Hashem Kelolam, that the Shem Hashem Kelolam has to be in consonance with the soul of the individual. Not just simply a group of facts. Group of facts doesn't help. Okay.
Okay, Rabbi.
What we were discussing last time, the very last thing we discussed, was the concept of mitzvot. That in mitzvot, and mitzvot do not, and that's what we said the Rambam was pointing out in the Mora with regard to Kabbanah, that mitzvot are not constructed according to the way the imperfections of a person's emotions would wish. And those are along, of course, various different paths, depending on the drive of the person who is making the judgment. It could be along the religious path, it could be along the egoistic path, but of course the Torah has to be different from all those approaches, because the Torah is based on the true path. And it cannot be that the true path will just coincide with the emotional path. So therefore, we said that people really have generally have a distaste for the approach of the mitzvahs. And usually people will try to find, I mean, in the mitzvahs, if they consider the Torah to be true, so they'll try to find within the mitzvahs certain things that are appealing, and this usually results in, at best, I mean, an emphasis on certain elements, but a distortion of the system as a whole, so that a person will like the idea, let's say, of learning, because knowledge appeals to the person. So to some individuals, they would like to believe that perfection could be attained just simply by the act of intellectual cognition. Or another person will think that the religious emotional attitude is really the ultimate expression of perfection. So therefore, they will try to engage in activities which promote that kind of That kind of an emotional experience. But we say, but what we were stating was that the Yahadus recognizes that a human being is very complex, and it's not so perfection is difficult to attain, and it can only be attained through a system which correctly deals with all the aspects of human behavior. Now, the Yahadus does maintain that knowledge is primary. So on that score, it would seem to be that one would seem to appear that there's a contradiction here. Because if knowledge is primary, so then the intellectual approach should be the approach. I mean, if that's the case. So why the emphasis on perfection through asiyas hamitzvos and through doing chesed and through other activities and through various experiences in life? I mean, the whole idea of schar v'onesh is that the experience of life perfects an individual. That's the basic concept, basic idea. So how does experience perfect an individual? I mean, the ideas of the Mora, where the Mora says the prerequisites for knowledge and the way the individual's midos are. I mean, how does all this play a role? If it's knowledge, then it's knowledge. So so of course one aspect of the answer, which we mentioned last time, is, and I still think that is the major point, but again, there's something else here which is not so simple and has to be addressed as well. But the major idea, of course, is the one that is easier to see is that knowledge is based upon the ability of the intellect of a human being to function on a specific problem, that's or area, an area of knowledge. Now, without perfection, certain areas are closed to the mind because of the way a human being is constructed. So if an individual has certain imperfections, so this will prevent the mind from engaging in these areas. These areas become closed to the individual. A human being's mind is very, very much dependent on his emotional makeup. I mean, just to give a simple example, there are people with very, very high IQs that have accomplished nothing in their lives in terms of intellectual discovery, in terms of ideas, advances, revolutionary concepts. They have done zero. And then you have people who have lesser IQs, lesser intelligent abilities, and yet they've made tremendous breakthroughs in the areas of the human knowledge. So the essential difference between these two individuals is that one individual may not have as great an intellect in terms of the mechanics of the mind as another individual, but all their energies are engaged in searching for the truth. And in searching for the truth requires not just a quick, fast, very good mind, but it requires days and hours and months and many times years of searching until one uncovers a true idea or opens up a whole new path of thinking, a revolutionary way of looking at things. This could take years and years. I mean, what does the Rambam say about Avraham Avinu? Rambam said about Avraham Avinu that he was, when he was 40 years old, is a Hikiris Boro. But he starts off where he says that he was Meshote Bedaito. So he apparently took him many, many years of thinking and pondering and research until it wasn't just a simple matter. That's the Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel. Kivan shenigmal eisan zeheschel l'shotei b'dayto. V'hu katan. V'heschel lachshov b'yom u'b'alayla. V'yatmiya And then he says, And then he says, "Uben Arboim Shana Hikir Avram Esboro." So it was a long path from the time that he was Hischel Shotet Bedaito, from his very, very early youth. Apparently, from the Ram will appear that he was extremely young when he started to think, and he was thinking and thinking for 30 some odd years. I mean, close to 40 years. Until the thoughts were crystallized in his mind and he had the true idea of God. So, I mean, this was something which was a constant preoccupation of the mind. And the truth of the matter is, I mean, what the world says is true. The world says that there never was a Nobel Prize winner who wasn't, Rosh Avaruba, all his energies and all his mental energies deeply, deeply engrossed and involved in the particular problem. I mean, that's true on a practical level and on a basic human level. And it's true, of course, in the area of discovery of metaphysics and halacha and Torah and everything else. That's, one principle that's universal. And that is that it's not the intelligence itself of a human being really can't get him too far. I mean, I've seen people with very, very, very high intelligence. But in terms of what their accomplishments are in their personal discovery of knowledge, many times very, very little. Very little more than a person that has low intelligence. Because it's not the intelligence itself, but it's the function of the intelligence, which and the tremendous amount of energy that is invested in searching for ideas. That is without a doubt. I mean, that's the main part of the whole machinery, the whole function is the amount of energy and the input and the investment of energy into a particular area. Meshote bedaita, a person that's preoccupied with searching for ideas. And basically, so that's why a person that is inhibited because of midos cannot possibly, it's virtually impossible for them to invest tremendous energies in areas which are distasteful to them and which they're turned off from and which they really don't want to think about. It's impossible for them to really come up with any kind of a, no matter how bright, no matter how intelligent, they cannot really come up with any true ideas in those areas. And that's why the Rambam says that and Yehadus maintains that perfection is everything. I mean, the virtues and the perfection of a human being is really the platform of the personality upon which the whole machinery of the operation of the mind rests. And if the platform is awry, I mean, there's no possibility that the system will function properly. It's virtually impossible. So, I mean, that's a simple kind of a thing that everybody, I think, can understand, although it is within the nature of man to deny truths when it goes against their own egoistic drives. So people really want to believe that that intelligence, which is something which is very easily quantifiable and is observable and is an ostentatious type of a thing, they want to believe that that's where it's at. But the truth of the matter is that the perfection of man is not really in the external quantifiable elements, but it's deep, really deep, very deep in the recesses of the human soul. So that's one aspect of why. Without perfection, when a person is drawn, like the Rambam says, is drawn to one of the two sides of the emotions, which means that the energy is really trapped in certain nidos, the energy is emotions trapped in certain emotions. It's impossible that being the case, the energy is trapped in those emotional attachments. It's impossible for the energy to be used in the pursuit and the preoccupation and the drive for Yedias Hashem. That's just impossible. So that's why in Yahadus it's so important. That's why when the Rambam talks about Hilchos Deos, I think a lot of people maybe just don't grasp the significance of the first parak in Hilchos Deos, where he talks so much about being in the middle and not being attached to one of the two sides of the midos, not to the extremes. But Rambam talks about that so much, and then he says that this is v'lachta b'drachov. I mean, what the Rambam is saying is basically that if a human being is really trapped, his energies are trapped in the excesses of either one side or the other of the emotions of each emotional attitude. If the person is his energies are trapped in one of the two opposites. So then it's virtually impossible to reach a level of Yedias Hashem. That's why that's why the Rambam gave so much significance to that idea. I mean, really, that's the end of that first paragraph, Lachta B'drachov, and this is the whole derech of Avraham Avinu and the whole approach, which is basically, according to the Rambam, that's really one of the discoveries of Avraham Avinu. One of the discoveries of Avraham Avinu is that in order to have a Yedias Hashem, a person has to be able to free the energies from the attachment to the excesses or to the extremes of the emotions. That an individual who remains attached to the emotions and to the extremes of the emotions cannot function in a way that his energies will be directed, channeled towards the ultimate goal, which is Yedias Hashem. I mean, that's basically what the Rambam is saying in the first parak. I think a lot of people go over the Rambam. They don't appreciate the significance of what he's saying. But what the Rambam is saying there is that was really the yesod of Avraham Avinu. That was Avraham Avinu's discovery. And he, of course, would appear from the Rambam. He was naturally endowed with a preoccupation. His energies, every person is different, but he had just a natural attachment to knowledge and chokhmah, and then he was able to realize that there's a by studying himself and studying others, he realized that there's a principle behind it. And the principle is that the energies must be freed from the attachment of the emotions to excesses. And once that freedom is attained, then the energy can be channeled towards the Yedias Hashem. But if it's not done that way, if the individual wants to overlook the midos, forego this kind of a discipline, and somehow jump into the intellectual, he's not going to make it. It's virtually impossible. It's not possible because the only way the individual can make it, as I said, is by investing a tremendous amount of energy in that area. And attachment to the extremes of the emotions does not permit it. There has to be the freedom of the energies, of the psychological energies. That's basically one of the discoveries of Avraham Avinu. That's the Derech Hashem. So, and then that's actually how a person, that's the idea of Mahu Afato. Lidamos Elov Yisbarach, which means to say that God is the Makar HaChachmon, and the intellect is what the Rambam says, the source of all Chachma. And an individual can be like God if his energies, in a human sense, on a human level, if his energies are freed from the emotions, from the attachment to the extremes of the emotions, they're not drawn there, so then his energies could be attached to chokhmah, to knowledge. In that way, he's godlike. You see, that's lidamos elav yisbarach. And that's based upon the freedom of the energy and the ability to invest large quantities of energy in the pursuit of the knowledge of God. That's Avraham Avinu's discovery. That's why Avraham Avinu, what does Rambam call Avraham Avinu? Amudo shel olam. Why is he Amudo shel olam? Amudo shel olam because he is the one that really discovered the whole objective of life. You see, that's what Rambam says. Val derech zoy olam ahoy olam holechem es galzol etzun Rambam avodis kachovim perek alav alach abeis, the end of alach abeis, ad shenolad amudo shel olam hu Avraham Avinu. Why was he Amudo shel olam? Because he was the one that established the real objective of all human existence. The objective of all human existence is Yedias Hashem, knowledge of God. And he discovered the objective, he discovered God, he discovered the way man has to be in control over his inner world, his inner life, in order to achieve that objective. And that's what I mentioned. What I mentioned last time, that the in the way the Rambam in the order of the mitzvos, where he has the mitzvos from the Shev Mitzvah Neach. And then he goes on, and Avraham Avinu was Milad, and he was Misak and Shachris, and Yitzchak Mincha, and Yaakov Meiriv, and etc. And Amram received this, that all the Achebo Moshe V'Nishlam Motar Al Yado is over there. It's not a Chefta Shel Tayag, it's a Chefta of vehicles of perfection on the road to Yediyas Hashem. And that objective really was started with Avraham Avinu. So the whole Torah is really mashlim. All the mitzvahs is achanishlim atar yado, is mashlim the objective of Avraham Avinu. But he's the amudo shel olam because he really established the whole objective of human life. And the mitzvahs that he received and that he himself established were the vehicles through which a person can attain that objective. That's the Amud HaShalom. He established the objective of human life, and the way that a human being has to be constructed, his inner world has to be constructed in a certain way in order to attain that objective. And there's no shortcutting that process, and there's no way to attain the objective without that process. That's basically what the Rambam is saying. So that's one way to understand what we mean when we stress the fact that in the Torah you can't just choose, and that's what the Rambam meant in the Moreh Nevuchim when he talks about Karbonos, that people who don't like the idea of Karbonos just existing because of the fact that they're channeling away certain energies, or they're freeing certain energies, it has a negative purpose. So then they don't like the Derech Hashem. So these people are going to deprecate the Derech Hashem in general. And these people have a very shallow understanding of what perfection is. They're just attaching themselves to aspects of Yadus which are appealing to them emotionally, either from an egoistic point or from a religious emotional point or whatever the particular attraction may be. But Yahadus is, and that's what the Rambam calls the disease of the spirit. But Yahadus is far deeper, and Yahadus recognizes that perfection is a tricky kind of a business, and that a person who is hung up in one area, he could be the brightest, most intelligent, most intellectual, smartest individual, but he's very, very far from perfection. So that's why, that's why every mitzvah plays a role, every mitzvah. The person has to really embrace all of Tayag mitzvahs in order to, uh, in order to be on the course of perfection. But to just choose certain mitzvahs that are appealing emotionally is obviously the greatest imperfection and would prevent the individual from attaining perfection. So that's one way which I think is pretty clear to every person when they analyze it and think about it that is true. But there's something more as well here. And this is a little more subtle. This, what we've discussed until now, is in terms of the quantities of energies that have to be invested in this area, in the area of Yedias Hashem. But there's something else as well, which is of a qualitative nature. And that's something which the Rambam has in the very, very beginning of the Mara, where the Rambam writes to his Talmud, for whom he wrote the Mara. So he writes a little letter there, and in the introduction. And in this letter, he makes an interesting statement. let me just get this thing. The very, very beginning of the Mara, where he starts off B'Shem Hashem Kelolam, and his Talmud Reb Yosef, the Reb Yosef ben Reb Yehuda. So in this letter, there are a lot of points in this letter that are interesting, but I'd just like to single out one. And then he says, and that's this part where he says that. Just give me 1 second. Yeah. He says, I perceive that you had acquired some knowledge in those matters from others, and that you were perplexed and bewildered. Yet you sought to find out a solution to your difficulty. And then the Rambam says, I urged you to desist from this pursuit and enjoined you to continue your study systematically. For my object was that the truth should present itself in connected order, and that you should not hit upon it by mere chance. Interesting. Very interesting statement. What is the Rambam... Just one more thing. The translation, I don't like any translations. I think the Pach is the best, the Hebrew one. But the translation like the Rambam writes in his letter to Shmuel ibn Tibbon is a very tricky thing. And it's a very difficult thing, because language is something which has a certain ring to it, and the ring conveys certain ideas. And if it's not going, you're transcending a cultural barrier when you're going from one language to another, and that alone is enough to throw the ideas off. But at any rate, I mean, we haven't got much choice yet, so unless we study Arabic. But what the Rambam is saying over here basically is getting to the just to the essence of what he's saying is that he's saying a very interesting thing. He's saying that he would not give him answers to a lot of his questions. So he's saying that he was perplexed and bewildered, and he said you were looking for solutions to your difficulties, but yet he says he wouldn't help him out. Because he says he urged him to desist from pursuing the answers. It's an amazing thing. He says, why? For my object was that the truth should present itself in connected order, and that you should not hit upon it by mere chance. And what's the difference? If the main thing is to have knowledge, so as long as you have the knowledge, it would seem, then you're in the ballpark. I mean, you're in the right place. You have the knowledge. So what difference does it make if you get the knowledge by chance or if you get it in connected order? I mean, as long as you have the answer, what difference does it make? If you're going to tell me that connected order means you don't really have the answer because you don't have the preliminaries, then you can't say you have the answer. So that's a different point. Then you just don't understand what you're saying. But the Rambam apparently doesn't say that. He says that his student could have arrived at the same exact answer, but there are two ways, either by chance. In other words, if he would, for instance, tell him the answer, or he would or through a connected order, which means a certain order of studies, proper order of studies. What difference does it make? I mean, if you're going to tell me that if you don't go through the preliminaries, you don't have the answer, so then what's the Rambam saying? Of course, he doesn't understand what he's talking about. Doesn't have the knowledge. Apparently, the Rambam saying even if he has the knowledge, 100%, but if it didn't present itself in the proper way, that's no good. What kind of sense does that make? I mean, what's the difference? Does he have the answer or doesn't he have the answer? If you gave him a test right now with all the most difficult questions about this idea, would he be able to answer the test properly or not? Apparently, the Rambam holds that in terms of the test, he'd answer the same way, whether he got it in connected order or whether he got it by mere chance. Because the Rambam's not discussing the fact, the Rambam's not discussing the idea of whether or not the knowledge is the same. He seems to be saying it's the exact same knowledge. But the only thing is how it comes about. It can come about through connected order, or it could come about through chance. Chance meaning that the Rambam gives him the answer, you see, or somehow or other he happens upon the answer. But that wouldn't be good, he says. That wouldn't be good. Same answer, same knowledge, exact same thing. Well, how is that possible? And what difference does it make? If everything is a matter of knowledge, so as long as you have the knowledge, as long as you can pass the test, so it would seem if you had a very good questioner and you can answer all the questions, what more is there? It would seem that's it. So what does the Rambam mean? Typical Rambam. And the Rambam considers it so important, I'll tell you why. Because the Rambam says that he realizes that his student was perplexed. By the way, I mean, his Talmud was a great guddle in learning in every area, not just in philosophy. But he wasn't too well known because he wasn't a person that really was interested in being well known. But he was one of the greatest chacham ador. But at any rate, you can understand yourself. The Rambam wouldn't be writing the praises of an individual like this unless he was really a supreme intellect. And a person that's very perfected. But but what the Rambam is saying here is that something far deeper. That you have two individuals. One person has they both have the exact same knowledge, and yet they're not the same in knowledge. That's what the Rambam is saying. You have two people that have the exact same knowledge and are not the same in knowledge. It's an amazing thing. How is such a thing possible? Yeah. Also, I would add the following, that the Rambam is saying that his Talmud was perplexed. Okay? His Talmud was perplexed and bewildered, and he didn't know the solution to certain problems. It's understood that he's discussing important problems, not just commonplace problems, but important, significant problems that have to do with the highest area of human endeavor, which is metaphysics and metaphysical knowledge. And this Talmud is perplexed and bewildered. Now we have a klal. Halacha says that the Gemara says, "Lo'olam yashlish odom eshnosav." A person should divide his years into thirds. He should spend one third of the time in Mikra, one third of the time in Mishnah, and one third of the time in Gemara, okay, and in Svara. So the Gemara asks, how could a person do that? Umiya deya kama chayi. How does a person? How does he know how long he's going to live? So he can't say he'll make a cheshbon that he's going to live 90 years. He'll spend 30, 30, and 30, but maybe he dies at 40. So or he dies at 30. So he'll never be able to even get into the second chapter. Okay. So the Gemara says, no, it means every day, that a person must do it every day, because every day has to be divided into thirds. So a day is viewed as the unit, the smallest unit of human existence. A day, that's the smallest entity of human, for a human being, that's the smallest entity of human endeavors, a day. That's a unit. So that unit, the smallest unit, should be broken up into thirds. And the Gemara says the same thing about Tshuva. Shuv yom achas afnei misascha. Because the important thing is that the soul should depart in the most perfected state So you must be sure that the day before the person dies, they have to do tshuva. So the Gemara says, yeah, but how do you know which day it is? Oh, the Gemara says again, so you got to do it every day. Got to tshuva every day, because the person doesn't know. Next day may not be here. So you see that Chazal held were very realistic in their outlook, and the Rambam passes, of course, their way, that the that a person has to realize that even though he has a sense of a sense of immortality, but that sense is just an emotion, and he can't allow that to guide the way he plans his existence, his life. But his life should be guided by the realistic attitude, which is the knowledge that today may actually be his last day. So he must be chozer b'tshuva every day, and he must be, in terms of his program for learning, has to be established upon the rational basis, not upon the emotional sense that he's going to be here forever. And he has to live according to that. He can't follow the emotion, that sense of immortality. So which of course is rational. So if that's the case, so the Rambam is saying something even more. Because the Rambam is saying that this Talmud is bewildered and perplexed, which means that at this point his soul does not have the knowledge of the solution to these great problems. And of course, I don't have to tell you, the Rambam holds that the knowledge is the Ava. So that is the perfection is the knowledge. So it means to say that if the person, if that Talmud would have died at that point, so he would have died without the knowledge. So I'll ask you, since a person has to have a rational plan, Chazal say in the Rambam Paskins that way, Yashal Shalom Mishnosov, that every day you have to be mashlish because you don't know. So how could the Rambam give his Talmud such a sentence, basically? What he's telling him is that if he dies tomorrow, he's going to die perplexed and bewildered, and he could have given him the solution. So he would have had the answer. So one would think that since that's the case, he certainly would be better off. The state of the soul, when a person departs from this existence, the state of the soul at the time of the departing is fixed, and that's it. It can't be changed anymore. So I'll ask you, what would an average person say? Ask a person, which way would you be better off? Be better off dying in a state where the person is perplexed and bewildered, without any solution to important problems, which the Rambam considers the most important problems in the world, and the problems which are the most important for the life of the soul. And here you're saying that the person may die at any moment without that knowledge. And you're saying that he's better off being in a state of bewildered and perplexed. His soul should be in that state rather than give him the knowledge by chance. I mean, one would think on the contrary, that at least he has the knowledge. Okay, so all right, so he didn't arrive at it in the right way. Fine. But at least his soul has the knowledge. So wouldn't he be better off that way? So doesn't the Rambam have to take into consideration what Chazal say, Umi Yodea Kama Chayi? And the way the Rambam Paskin is based upon that? That you can't just follow in your life, in your program of learning, the sense of immortality, but your program of learning has to be in line with reality, based upon reality? Didn't the Rambam offer that? So how could the Rambam give him such a sentence and allow him to be in a state where if he were niftam and olam early, before he got the solution, before it presented itself in connected order, and that apparently isn't something which is overnight, which takes a lot of time, so how could he allow him to die in a state of bewilderment and confusion and perplexity without the knowledge and without the answer? Here you see, I mean, it takes even a more serious turn. That the Rambam held, no, he's better off that way. He's better off passing away from this existence in that state, you see, in a state of bewilderment, rather than have the answer. How is that possible? Doesn't seem to be all a dot. Okay? Yes.
Can you write the Mora for the Talmud?
Yes. He wrote the Mora for the Talmud. As a matter of fact, the Mora is not really a book. Not really a book. People think it's an ordinary book. It's not really a book. If you read through his introduction, you'll see the Mora was really a letter, a long letter with many sections that was made public. See, it's not really a sefer. A sefer is something that's written for the public. A letter is something that's written personally to an individual. The Marin Avuchim is a personal letter that the Rambam allowed to make public. That's basically what it is. If you read that introduction, you'll see. And he never would have written it. It's an amazing thing. Had it not been for certain circumstances, which I think there is no doubt was really purely Hashgachas Hashem, that those circumstances should take place, he never would have written it. Never would have written it. It's an amazing, scary thought. But those events were responsible for a body of knowledge that, without which, I mean, the whole system of Yadus would never be able to be made available to Chachmei Adoros. It's a scary thing, but that's when you read the letter, that becomes clear. Yes.
So he compiled all these letters.
One second. Can you hold on one second? Just give me, I need to take 1 minute. I'll be back.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He compiled all these letters for the purpose of the Talmud. Doesn't that go against the premise that that the Talmud should come to his knowledge on his own?
Excuse me?
If he compiled all the letters for the
Well, you have to read further his introduction of how he does it. It's a little more complicated. Excuse me? Yeah, he was well aware of that. I mean, you have to read what his method is.
Yes, also it's a guide for the perplex, not the answer for the perplex.
Yeah. But,
This knowledge that you're talking about, is this similar to the knowledge that's written in, that they talk about in Chagiga? Or is this before that knowledge?
I don't understand the question. No, it's not to do with Chagiga. It has to do, what the Rambam is explaining is a general principle there. And it has nothing to do with Chagiga. I mean, that's a separate thing. That's a separate thing about what you're allowed to disclose, what you're not allowed to disclose, how you're allowed to disclose it. That he takes up in his introduction. That the Rambam, that whole question of how you're allowed to do it, he takes up in his introduction. But this is a separate point. It has nothing to do with that. This has to do with any truth, any idea, the Rambam says, it would be wrong, it would be harmful for the person to have the idea. He'd be better off without it. That's what he's saying. That's an amazing statement. It's an amazing statement. Again, it goes against the whole notion that most people have of the quantifiable intellect. You know what I mean? That's what man is. Just a quantifiable intellect. So not so simple. The human soul is not just intellectual ability. That's an important, very important component, very significant component, and cannot be overestimated. But at the same time, it's not just a simple formula. Okay. So the answer, so the question that we're raising is, how is it possible for two people to have the same knowledge and yet not be the same in knowledge, in terms of knowledge? That's the question. The answer is that what the Rambam is saying is that the Rambam over here is really against the popular notion of writing books in order to defend the religion, in order to defend Yahadus. Okay? Now, I don't want to be taken literally on my statement. I mean, I realize that if you take the statement out of context, you could attribute to me certain things that I don't mean. But I'm still stating it that way because I want to make it clear. What the Rambam is saying is that the idea of defending Yahadus, writing books to defend Yahadus, is not really correct. Why? Because what the Rambam is saying is the following. That a person that has a problem, in understanding, I'm qualifying the statement. Under certain conditions, it's appropriate. I'm not saying under all conditions. Under certain conditions, it's appropriate, yet under other conditions, it's inappropriate to do it. And I'll explain to you why. Okay? What the two sets of conditions are. Okay. The condition of why it's not appropriate to write books in order to defend Yahadus is the following. that a person that is in a state of perplexity is in a situation where the soul, you see, the soul is confused. Well, the soul is confused because there are certain ideas that it's embracing, and on the one hand, and yet on the other hand, the system which it believes in, the system of Yahadus, is not fitting into that to that knowledge. Okay, so the person is confused. He's in a state of perplexity. He's torn between two things: between a Mesora that he's relying on, which he considers to be accurate, and which teaches him a certain thing, and then on the other hand, investigations and knowledge which teach him something else. So that's what the Rambam is talking about. Now, the question is, such an individual, what should you do? Should you give him the answer, or let him walk around bewildered? The Rambam says he insisted that his Talmud walk around bewildered. Why? The reason is that the soul works, like I was saying before, the way the whole idea of Yahadus, the perfection of Yahadus, is really the function of the soul of man as it functions and as it works in this existence. Okay? Not in the ultimate existence, in this. The soul of man functions over here the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Tzelem Elokim. The Tzelem Elokim is tied to the physical and works in a certain way. Okay, there's a certain description for how it functions and how it operates. And the perfection of that element in man is the ultimate perfection. And any time you distort that element, you are removing perfection from a human being. Okay? Now, a person by nature is such that when he's in such a dilemma, so he's torn. And he's fraught with a certain kind of anxiety, you see, because he's an intellectual anxiety, because he's torn between two worlds. On the one hand, his mind is telling him that X is correct. On the other hand, Y seems to be contradicting that. So the soul is torn. Now, if you give the soul the solution, so what happens is the individual will be so excited and so happy that the conflict is resolved that the pursuit of the knowledge for truth's sake will be stopped. Okay? Will be inhibited. That's what the Rambam says is bad. That's bad. Because the person will just be happy that he justified his situation. Now he's out of the problem. Now he's whole. Now there's no more problem, and the excitement the person will have because they've resolved the conflict will be a negative insofar as the soul's intrinsic pursuit of knowledge, for the sake of knowledge itself, you see. So that's why the Rambam says that many times when you give a person a solution to a problem, you're really harming the individual, because the individual is in a certain state, and because of the state that the soul is in due to a certain situation that has arisen because of knowledge or conflicting lines of knowledge, so because the soul is in that state, the solution will make that individual so happy that it'll resolve a painful situation, and that'll be the end of the whole pursuit. You see? So the Rambam says, that's not good. That's not good for the soul. The soul is better off suffering pain and anxiety from the conflict, but still being in a state, it's in a state of pursuit of knowledge, of the solution of the problem. Then the soul is really still tied to the reality of the quest for knowledge itself. You see? So therefore, that's what the Rambam means. What the Rambam means is, let's say, for instance, a person will ask the kasha, say, look, how can the Torah say this, but we see it's not true, you see scientifically it's not true. I'm just giving you an example. It doesn't have to be scientifically. It could be many other ways, logically, whatever, philosophically. There are many different types of problems. But if a person say, I see it's not true, the person say, so someone say, I'll show you, there's no problem. Because what the Torah means is this, that fits in precisely with this, and everything's fine. That's no good. Because the individual did not arrive at the solution through the process of pursuit of knowledge. You see, there's a certain way to pursue knowledge. The way to arrive at the solution is to gain more knowledge, and then once the knowledge is gained naturally, then the person sees that the problem is removed. There is no problem. That's a different kind of thing than giving the person a solution. And in the method of following the natural pursuit, there the soul is never harmed. On the contrary, the soul may be suffering anxiety and perplexity. That may be painful. But the fact is that the inner soul is looking for the truth. And as a matter of fact, I mean, the perplexity, in a sense, may even be better, because it causes it's a good thing, because it causes the soul to search harder. So that's a good state. It's a state where the individual is searching for the truth. Now, when the individual uncovers the truth naturally, the beauty of the truth is what the soul is attached to. And then the solution to the problem is like a side thing. It doesn't really... It is the process of gaining knowledge is something which is in line with the natural function and activity of the soul. And when the soul functions naturally, that activity is a natural process, then there is a tremendous attachment to the knowledge. So the solution, it becomes a side thing. But the mind becomes enamored by the knowledge itself. And the fact that there was in the past a contradiction becomes something very insignificant, you see. Becomes insignificant. All the anxiety and the problem becomes, because the person sees the truth, and the truth is so great, and he sees that he understands the truth, he understands that the Torah fits in exactly, precisely with this truth. The soul's attachment to the truth remains intact and enhanced. And the fact that the person has resolved the problem... You see, the fact that the person has a satisfaction that they've resolved the problem and they're out of their perplexity becomes totally secondary. It has no real significance. So since that's the case, you see, since that's the case, that is the only way it's possible to attain a solution, you see, and yet remain completely intact, and the soul remains completely whole in terms of its relationship to knowledge. On the other hand, if you have a person that just has a kasha, he's bothered with a Torah says this, and knowledge is saying something else, what do I do? He's caught, and he's just given the solution. He's very happy. What will he be happy about? That there's a solution. That he has a solution. He's out of the dilemma. He's out of the problem. Now I could say, okay, I believe in the Torah, and I believe in this. I'm fine. I don't have to worry anymore. You see, the person, the satisfaction over there is in the human being's belief system. He's satisfied with the belief system, but that is not really the highest level. That's not really what the Torah wants. What the Torah wants from man is that the soul should be attached to true chachma, true knowledge. And resolving the problem is really a harm for the individual. As a matter of fact, what the Rambam is saying is that the person would be better off, and this is an amazing thing, the person would be better off to be niftar min ha'olam, you see, in a state of perplexity where the soul is still searching, than to have the solution. Because, as I tried to explain last time, perfection means, and this I think is one of the principles of the Mara, perfection, descriptively, to describe, we have to have descriptions of it. We run out of words and definitions. But as a matter of fact, you see, it's an interesting thing that Agavorcha just mentioned. That when we're learning halacha, we're never satisfied with description. We always say what we need is a definition, because the definition is more precise. Definition is more precise. A description is, you know, common parlance. I mean, it's not really it's literature. You know, I mean, Shakespeare is descriptive. He's not definitive. That's why he's not a real psychologist. I mean, he knows certain sense of psychology, a certain description, but it's not definitive. It's not a science. So when you're learning, you want a science. You want a precise definition. But when you're dealing with metaphysics, you reach a point where you can only be satisfied with description. That's one, by the way, that's one of the principles of the moral. And that's why the Rambam explains that that's the whole concept of Mare Hanavua. Because you see, the Nevi'im, how do they express their Nevi'ah? Description. So it's an amazing thing that a person goes from common description to more precise definition, but then in the ultimate world of knowledge, it goes back to description. It's an interesting thing. So I believe that's one of the premises of the Mara. That's really, the Rambam shows what a Mare Hanavua really is. A Mare Hanavua is a description because it's as close as you can get to the idea. Definition becomes impossible in the real world of metaphysics. And that ties in very much to what I want to explain here, and that is that the idea of perfection can best be described as the closeness of the soul to knowledge, to ultimate knowledge. The closeness of the soul to ultimate knowledge. And now closeness is a description. But that is as close as we can get. Okay? And that's why the Rambam gives that mashal over there. The Rambam's famous mashal in the Mor Nevuchim. Of how distant a person is from God. And he has different people. And he has a mashal of the house and the gates and I believe he ties Migdash into that. The whole idea of Migdash. Very interesting. But the... But basically, what's the bottom line is that he's showing in the descriptive form, the distance between man and God, okay, or the closeness of man to God, depending on the individual, okay, and depending upon how you frame it. I mean, both are true. Hashem Meirochet Nir Elai. We're distant, and yet, in a sense, we're close. But it's not a contradiction, but the... But the point that I want to make is that over here I think you come to the crux of the issue of the idea of perfection in a qualitative sense. That's why I said before I discussed it in a quantitative sense of how a person who's not perfected cannot possibly achieve any kind of level. I don't care how smart he is; it's a joke. It's like virtually impossible. It's like saying a person will have the most perfected automobile, and he'll never put on the engine, or put on the engine for a few seconds and he expects to get somewhere. It just can't work. That's one. That's the quantitative. But there is also a qualitative aspect to this, and I think the qualitative is extremely significant. On a metaphysical way, it's more significant. But it's a little more difficult to comprehend. But what the Rambam is saying is that the soul, in terms of knowledge, can only be described. And the description is the closeness of the soul to knowledge. Now, an individual may not have a certain factual, material content in his soul, and yet he will be closer to knowledge than another individual who has the material content of the answer, of the solution. Okay? And that's what the Rambam is saying, basically. That one person can have the answer, the solution. You give him a bechina, he'll be able to answer it perfectly. You have the most brilliant professor, the most brilliant questioner, interrogate him. He'll give perfectly the answer. Another individual will not be able to give the answer because he doesn't have the answer. He didn't happen upon the answer by chance. He'll fail the test. But this individual's soul is closer to truth, closer to knowledge, you see, than the other individual that has the factual answers, has the substance of the intellectual answer. That's what the Rambam is saying. Because perfection of the soul is the closeness of the soul to God and to knowledge. And that's something which is measured differently, cannot be measured at all, by quantitative knowledge in a quantitative method. Cannot be measured.